Tuesday, May 15th, 2007. We've got just two bills up on the agenda this morning, and judging by the small crowd we have drawn, they are not controversial bills. I'll begin by opening a public hearing on Senate Bill 692. Councilor Kalmanson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. The Uniform Transfer on Death Security Registration Act was drafted by the National Conference of Commissioners on Uniform State Laws in 1989 to extend the advantages of the paid-on-death bank deposit account concept to investment securities. QOD registration allows a person to pass securities directly to another person or entity upon death without having to go through probate. What SB 692 would do is add investment management accounts, safekeeping accounts, and custody accounts to the definition of security account for purposes of the Uniform TOD Security Registration Act.
Okay. We have Ken Sherman and Tim Martinez from the Bankers Association. Gentlemen, come up together.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Tim Martinez here on behalf of the Oregon Bankers Association. This is an extremely controversial bill, and the only reason the room isn't packed, as I told everybody as they were coming up, the meeting didn't start till 9:30. So you may all get bombarded on the floor today about how this bill moves so quickly. I will let Ken Sherman, the OBA counsel, kind of talk about the details if the committee is interested in that. But this is an issue that we tried to work on late last session. It was just simply too late, so we reintroduced it this time, and it has no opposition that we're aware of. Nobody testified against it on the other side. And I can't remember whether it was 28 or 29 aye votes on the other side, but I'll let Ken go into the details.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I'm Ken Sherman, counsel for the Oregon Bankers Association. Staff counsel has done an excellent job of summarizing this bill. We've circulated to you copies of some written remarks, but they basically are the same remarks that were given by your counsel. So I'll just be happy to answer any questions you may have about the bill.
Good bill.
Mr. Chairman, I'm surprised that this isn't already the law, that you, when you create an account, that you can't, an investment management or a custody account, that you can't designate a death beneficiary.
Well, Mr. Chairman, it all comes down to the technical definition in the statute that will be amended by this bill of security account, and the fact that that bill just does, or that law does not now contain some magic words that we would incorporate into it. So it's really a matter of, I guess, the securities industry growing beyond the words that were initially put into the act by the NACUSL. And this simply brings this particular language into the 21st century.
Okay. Representative Bonamici.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Mr. Sherman and Mr. Martinez. Is Oregon on the cutting edge here in adding these accounts, or have other states, because I see that the act is a uniform act, have other states already added the investment management accounts, safekeeping accounts, and custody accounts?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Bonamici, I know of at least one state, and that is California, from whom we shamelessly stole this language. They have amended it. I'm not really familiar with, I'm sure there are other states, but I'm not, I don't have a head count on that for you.
Thank you.
I'm assuming, gentlemen, that that if one had a joint account between, so say, husband and wife, they created in joint names, then the effect would be that on death of one, it would pass to the other under existing law.
Mr. Chairman, that's correct.
But this would allow somebody who's, say, unmarried to designate their brother or their sister or their child.
Again, Mr. Chairman, that's correct.
Okay, very good. Any further questions? Why don't you gentlemen stay seated, because we'll be going on to the other bill here in a moment, but I'm going to close the public hearing on Senate Bill 692 and open a work session on Senate Bill 692.
Chair, I'll move Senate Bill 692 to the floor with a due pass.
Representative Krieger moves Senate Bill 692 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, the clerk will call the roll.
Aye.
Aye.
Excused. Excused.
Aye.
Excused.
Vice Chair Barker.
Aye.
Vice Chair Wisnett?
Aye.
Chair McPherson?
Aye.
Senate Bill 692 moves to the floor with a due pass recommendation. And do people think this needs an explanation, or?
I can carry it.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Representative Krieger. close the work session on Senate Bill 692 and open a public hearing on Senate Bill 693. Councilor Kalmanson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Senate Bill 693 would establish that a trustee may terminate a trust without court approval in certain circumstances. It allows the trustee to advance money to a trust for payment of expenses, losses, or liabilities sustained in the administration of the trust. It would allow a trustee to borrow money from a lender or financial institution operated by or affiliated with a trustee if the money is for protection of the trust or for the payment of expenses, losses, or liabilities sustained by the trustee in the administration of the trust.
Mr. Martinez, Mr. Sherman.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Tim Martinez, Oregon Bankers Association. I think all of you except for Representative Bonamici were here last session when we led the effort to rewrite the Uniform Trust Code in collaboration with the Oregon State Bar. Not surprisingly, a bill dealing with trust issues of 70 or 80 pages may not have been exactly perfect. These are a few changes that have come to light since the 2005 session. None of them are controversial. We have run them all by the Oregon State Bar, and they're comfortable with them as well. Again, I would let Mr. Sherman talk about the details if you're interested in that, and be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I'm Ken Sherman, counsel for the Oregon Bankers Association. As Tim said, the Uniform Trust Code was one of, in our view, major accomplishments of the 2005 session. It was the work product of a national group called the National Council of Commissioners on Uniform State Laws, which has brought us a number of other pearls, such as the Uniform Commercial Code, which has been a part of our law since the 60s. The Uniform Trust Code is an important codification of what have had previously been pretty much common law rules on the operation of trusts. And I served with a number of other bankers and other people around the state on the committee that prepared this bill for the introduction in 2005. And we got it pretty close to perfect, but we missed a couple of things, and this bill is designed to address them. The first is to address the circumstance, which comes up occasionally, where there have been change in circumstances that was not anticipated by the trust or the person who created the trust. An example of that would be where the trust was created to pay for long-term medical expenses of a person who has since either been cured of the illness or has died. In that case, there simply it wasn't foreseen that this need for the trust would be cut off, and so this would allow the trustee to come forward without going through the court process, which can be quite expensive and time-consuming, and terminate the trust if there can be a showing that termination would not be inconsistent with the material purpose of the trust, and that all of the qualified beneficiaries of the trust would consent to the termination. That would include the Attorney General for the state if the a trust is a charitable trust, unless by the operation of the trust instrument the interests of the charity would be negligible. Another condition for this termination is that the trustee cannot be a beneficiary of the trust and cannot be obligated by law to support any beneficiary of the trust. So it's a fairly tight set of circumstances. It will come up fairly infrequently, but in those occasional cases it will save the trust considerable resources from having to go through the process of getting court approval for a termination. The second amendment that is built into this bill would allow a trustee to advance money of the trustee to the trust to pay trust expenses, losses, and expenses. Trusts are not unlike other entities, including businesses. Sometimes they have cash flow problems, and they need to bring in outside resources to meet their needs. Frequently, trusts encounter significant difficulties in going to third-party lenders just because third-party lenders aren't used to dealing with trusts as borrowers. And so the most expeditious thing to do, particularly when the trustee happens to be a financial institution or happens to be a trust company affiliated with a financial institution, is for that trust company or its affiliate to make the advancement of cash. This amendment would simply clear the way for that to happen, provided that the loan is made on terms that are fair to the beneficiaries of the trust. and we think that that would be a significant improvement. I would also mention that before we even drafted this bill, we discussed it in some depth with the Oregon State Bar's Estate Planning Council, and they were very supportive of both these changes. I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions for Mr. Sherman? Representative Bonamici.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think this is a good bill, and the policy seems good. The only question I have is a concern about the very last couple of lines of the bill, where it applies to all trusts, whether created before, on, or after the effective date. And I wonder if there may be situations where a trust was created with an understanding that these policy changes did not apply, and when we make it go back and apply to trusts that were created under prior law, are they significant enough changes so that should be a concern?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Bonamici, you have opened the book on one of the most interesting discussions we had as a part of the 2005 work group, the question of whether to apply the new UC or UTC to all trusts whenever created or to apply it only prospectively to new trusts. We had a lot of discussion about that, and we decided that the world would be much more complicated and confusing if we tried to preserve an old set of rules for those trusts created before and to apply a new set of rules for the trust created post the bill. We've applied that same decision here to apply this new set of rules to all trusts whenever created. And to answer the second part of your question, in my view, these changes are minor housekeeping amendments. They are not fundamental. I draft a lot of trusts in my own legal practice, and I can't remember ever having a discussion with a client about whether an institutional trustee, under the circumstances that we're talking about in this bill, ought to be allowed to advance funds. That's something that has been done historically. I mean, it's been a practice, and if you look at, I would venture to say, almost any trust agreement in the list of powers that are given to the trustee, you're going to find some reference to that anyway. So, really, I think that this bill, in that respect, accomplishes bringing consistency between what is typically drafted into the trust on the one hand and what the law says on the other hand.
Thank you for the reassurance.
Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Sherman, one of the conditions for the trustee's power to terminate the trust is that all qualified beneficiaries have consented to the termination. And I don't see a definition for qualified beneficiary within the text here that within the bill. Is that a defined term?
Chairman, it is in fact defined in the first section of the Uniform Trust Code. And basically a qualified beneficiary is two classes of people. That group of people who are entitled under the circumstances to the immediate receipt of income from the trust, and the next group down, the group of people who, if all the immediate recipients were to go away, would next be entitled to the assets of the trust. So that is the distinction, and again, this gets us into an area that the UTC group spent an awful lot of time debating, having to do particularly with who do you have to give notice to under certain circumstances. And that was the distinction that was made throughout the trust code, that you need to involve the qualified beneficiaries who are most immediately affected by the actions of the trustee in these kinds of actions. So that's why we draw that line.
So if I'm following that correctly, if the trust were created by, say, a parent for his or her adult children, mm-hmm. with then for any deceased child it passing by right of representation to the next generation, mm-hmm. and there are members of that generation, if I'm hearing you right, it would require consent from those children who are the initial current beneficiaries and from their offspring who are the next contingent beneficiaries.
That's correct.
But not anybody beyond that.
That is correct, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Okay, any further questions? If not, then I will close the public hearing on Senate Bill 693 and open a work session on Senate Bill 693.
Mr. Chair, I'll move Senate Bill 693 to the House floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Cameron moves Senate Bill 693 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Hearing none, the clerk will call the roll.
Representative Bonamici.
Aye.
Representative Cameron.
Aye.
Representative Flores.
Excuse me.
Aye.
Excused.
Vice Chair Barker?
Aye.
Vice Chair
Wisnett? Aye. Aye. Senate Bill 693 moves to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Chair, I would like to volunteer to carry.
Very good. Representative Bonamici, thank you very much for volunteering. I'll close the work session on Senate Bill 693. Representative Comp, would you like to vote on the other bill that we moved today?
That would be very nice.
It was, appreciate it. It was equally uncontroversial.
Well, I just read through it also.
Okay, very good. I will move that we suspend the rules to permit Representative Comp to vote on Senate Bill 692. Would you reopen the work session to do that? Any objection?
Well, I don't know. Does she have a good excuse for
this? No objection. I did not get it. I was applying for an interview for a job.
I was kidding.
I didn't get a note from the superintendent.
Reopened the work session on Senate Bill 692. And Representative Comp, how do you vote on Senate Bill 692?
Aye.
Very good. Comp votes aye. I'll close the work session on Senate Bill 692. Thank you, committee, for attending this brief meeting. We are adjourned.